This is Adrian with WJMS Radio, and right now with me, I got The Cause. What's up, man?
Yo, yo. What's going on?
Yeah.
So, recently, he released, when exactly did you release Release Party?
Release Party came out, actually, I want to say the end of 2018.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Sorry for saying just recently. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe I just saw like your Instagram post of like the video or something, right? Did you post like a video for it recently on YouTube?
Well, that's my most recent project. So I had, you know, there were two videos, Another Chapter in Bloom, that came out before the project. But last year there was two visuals that came out for Tuesday Night and Feel Me. And it's just kind of like, besides the title, it's also kind of like just the type of vibe I'm on now. Like when I perform, I tell people it's a release party. Like we're going to get lit and get all the stress out, get all the negative shit out. So that's just kind of like my campaign right now. And I'm, you know, this is cool because this is actually like an exclusive, but I'm pretty sure this year I'm going to release a sequel to Release Party. So it's kind of just the whole vibe that I'm on right now.
I bet, for sure. Yeah, I know. So I know you're friends with Tiggs and Fatboy.
Yeah,
I had those dudes on before. Really cool guys. So how did y'all all end up meeting?
Fatboy, I met first. I met him like back in like 2011. At the time, it was me and this other rapper I was running with that we did a couple projects with, Dude Named Knowledge, and we were just killing shows, doing a lot of shit. And Fatboy Sharif had a radio show at King University out here in Jersey with 89 The Brainchild, and they interviewed us, and we just, like, got hella cool off the rip. And Fatboy wasn't even on, like, he was on some freestyle shit, but he wasn't really, like, an artist. He didn't even really, like, record yet at that point. It was really, like, being around us at the time and being at an environment, we kind of, like, formed a squad with Fatboy and 89 and called Strange Colors, and we was running together for like a couple of years, killing shows. So that's how I met him, and I seen him evolve into, you know, what y'all see now with all the albums and everything that he's doing, all the shows. And then seeing that was a couple of years after that. He was just like a younger cat that just really fucked with me and fucked with what I do, and he would just reach out and shit like that, and eventually, you know, somehow the universe brought us together and we just clicked, you know. He calls me his mentor. I put him onto a lot of shit and he put me onto a lot of shit as well. We just keep each other in the loop and just keep each other, you know, on our toes. And, you know, we call ourselves the Soul Brothers, me and Tiggs. Like, you know, we both really into soul music and neo soul music and just good vibes. So, you know, those two are my brothers right there.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if you know Boog as well, but I feel like he's like my mentor.
Okay, yeah. That's what's up.
But, so just getting into your like influence, I guess, like, what made you really start wanting to make music? Like, how did you get into that?
Oh, man. That's way back. I started, actually, the real first way I got into it was just kind of like by accident. It's a story I always tell. I was like 8 years old and I was in school and they had some like a list of things that you could do for like a project about, I don't even know what it was about, but they had rap song on the list and I didn't want to do none of the things they had on there. And I just figured that would be the easiest one. I never really wrote no rhymes before, no music, but I did it. And I just remember realizing like I was good at it and people was fucking with it. To the point where I think, you know, sometime after that, there was like another thing we had to do for class. And I did it again. And people was like, yo, are you nice with it? And I just loved the self-expression. And I think at the time, the attention I was getting was dope to me. You know, I felt like I didn't really have an outlet. So that became like my outlet to speak and shit like that. You feel me?
That's cool. That's cool because, like, I guess, like, getting into it that early or just, like, you know, sort of seeing that as like it, being able to like recognize, you know, that it is an outlet and everything, and working on it at that young age is like a pretty good advantage for you. As far as like experience with like musically getting to the point that you are now.
And I feel like definitely.
Yeah. Because you can tell, like, listen to your music. You're very, like, musically inclined. You have a good ear just from, like, choosing the beats and everything. But, like, what is some of the music that got you? Like, what were you listening to back in those times whenever that got you into?
Back in those days, like, if we're talking about, like, you know, like, that age when I started rapping, I was listening to Biggie, Nas, Jay, a lot of shit like that. I fucked with DMX. You know, as I grow older, Kanye was like my favorite rapper growing up. Like once he came out, I was just in love with all his albums. He really taught me how to really produce a song just by listening to him and different things he would do, picking up on how he would collab with motherfuckers and bring out the best in them. You know, Common was a big influence. Lupe and, you know, Lauryn Hill, Fugees, and just, you know, as I went on, I got into, like, a lot of soul music. So I started listening to everything from, you know, older shit, like some classic shit from Stevie Wonder, you know, Inner Visions or some shit, all that shit. Songs in the Key of Life, all the way to Badu, Frank Ocean, you know, shit like that. That's my type of wave, you feel me? So it's just, like, a culmination of everything like that.
Yeah, that hat you got is actually, like, so fire. That Channel Orange hat, because I was like, I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, damn, I need one of those so bad.
Yeah, man, that's one of my favorite albums of all time, hands down.
I definitely think that's one of the best albums of the last decade, for sure. Just, like,
oh, God.
A good project. But, yeah, that's cool. So you got a lot of soul influence and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Like, as far as soul goes, like, do you feel like what did it for you was, like, the drums and soul? Or did you really like, the melodies and the strings and or, like, was singing a really big part of it? Like, what's your favorite part about, like, soul music?
I think it's really telling that the genre is called soul, because that just shows what type of connection it can have with somebody. I think the spirit of it, I think the feel of it. Definitely, you know, definitely the melodies, definitely. I think for me, especially like with Neo Soul specifically, you know, it's a culmination of the best parts of a couple of different genres, you know, and it's real hip hop influence. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, growing up, for instance, just on a hip hop tip, I remember being young and when I was getting into like some of the rap artists that'll go more hand in hand with like that soul shit, like the Backpack Vibes of the time, like the Qualies and the people like that, where, you know, when you're young and you're listening to it, you kind of like proud to like have dope music that you could play around your moms that's not too crazy, that's actually talking about fun. And I think that's another thing that got me into, you know, because when you think about the Badus, the D'Angelos, you also think about the J Dillas and the Roots, and just that whole type of vibe is like what I'm into. I love good vibes. I think, you know, as I got older as well, especially being around certain shit, it didn't make as much sense to me no more to just listen to like hard ass music all the time, or like just music about, you know, music about trapping and things like that that's giving you these type of vibes, when you could listen to something that puts you in a more level headed mind state, or a mellow mind state, or an inspired mind state, that it just have you feeling good. And like, I'm an empath, so I pick up on people's energy crazy. So after a while, I think that's another reason why I connected so much with soul music, because it's just a good vibe to it. It's just something pure and something just uplifting about it.
Yeah, definitely. And what you said about like soul being like the accumulation of a lot of different genres, like best parts, I feel like that's definitely true. Like you said, it's like hip hop. And then it has, like, sort of the best music structure of, like, you know, jazz. Like, jazz to me, I don't know about you, but jazz to me, they just have the best chords. Like, just that style of music and the song structure of jazz is just the prettiest to me, like, out of anything. But, yeah, like, for sure. Yeah, that's cool, man. Are you into any other like style of genres? You big into like, I don't know if you like alternative or anything like that.
I'm into anything that sounds dope to me. I'm mostly like well versed in hip hop and soul music, but you know, when it comes to anything, I like to not really pigeonhole myself because I feel like even if we get into like a band like Red Hot Chili Peppers, that's another band that's like a fuse of so many genres. Mm-hmm. I just think you can't really box yourself out if you really love music because you don't know what you're gonna hear. Like for instance, with them in particular, like if I hear Chili Peppers, I feel like I'm still listening to hip hop. I feel like I'm listening to it's a mix of more, but I feel like a lot of things, especially with hip hop being so big on sampling, I think after a while I started to realize how much connection that this genre of hip hop and this culture of hip hop that I love had with so much other shit, and it makes you want to journey out. That's what made me like fall in love with like Ill Scott Heron, listening to Kanye's album, listening to, you know, wanting to look up certain things. Like for instance, here's a kind of like more thing album people might not think I'm into. I fell in love with the Paranoid album from Black Sabbath when I heard a bunch of people sample shit off that song.
Yeah.
And I would just look it up and I'm like, you know, I don't give a fuck. If I don't like something, I keep it moving, but I gotta be open because I don't want to miss nothing. I want to be open to it all. So like that album, when I started listening to it, I was like, man, this album is dope as hell. I didn't even think I would like this album. So,
yeah,
you know, it just teaches you to just be open, man, because also as the artist, even more than a fan, you don't want to be boxed in because you could get inspiration from anything. So if you just listen to one type of shit or, you know, just kind of have the same routine all the time, it gets boring for me. I don't really like to be predictable or just stay in a box like that.
Yeah, for sure. You can definitely see that with your music, too, from Release Party and this, the different styles of it, from, you know, like the Quemini flip to, like, you know, like getting that a little trappy to, like, what, Tuesday night? Is it Tuesday night?
Yep.
Yeah, and that one's real boom-bappy and kind of like a love story. Would you say that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, those are my two favorite from the EP. Kind of speak on your process of making music. So like when you sit down and you're like, you know, projecting to make a song, do you sort of write the lyrics first or do you get the beat first? What comes first in that?
Yeah, I would say I think usually I won't write too much without a beat. I might have like a concept or I might write down some notes, or I might write like a hook or something, a hook idea, and then, you know, I might have to find a beat for it, or I might go through beats I got and see if I got something that it fits with. I usually, you know, sometimes every now and then I'll still get into them zones where I just want to just write a rhyme, just to write a rhyme and just to see what comes out, or I might just feel like writing, but usually when it comes to really like making great music, I feel like it all starts with the beat. So once you got that backdrop, now you got to just see how you feel off it. Some beats might come out right away. I might write the whole shit right there, but some beats that are more challenging or more out of my element, you know, I like to do beats sometimes that a lot of beats that I get, even if it might not seem like it when it come out, even when I did Bloom, you know, when I first got that beat, I knew that I needed that beat. I go off my intuition, what beats I should fuck with. And I was like, I need this beat right here, but I don't know what I'm going to do to it yet. It took me a while, even Another Chapter, it took me a while to really see how I wanted to go about it. I think you got to just wait sometimes for the right moment to hit you. And a rhyme might just come in my head when I'm not even trying. I might be at a store or some shit, and a rhyme will just come in my head, and it'll just happen, and then it just starts to write itself. Or sometimes I might come up with just one verse, or I might have the verses. Like with Another Chapter, it came to a point where, well, I'll break that one down and make it more easier. I had the first, when I finally got the first verse, That's all I had for that moment. After a while, the second verse came about because I was thinking about the rhyme scheme, and I was like, the first verse is like, trying to think of how I set it up, but I got that whole scheme that's like, cold as Christmas with torn meniscus, no one misses his vote, like that whole scheme, and I was like, oh shit, I could have said Souls of Mischief. And then I was like, huh. So the second verse, that's why I started it like that. Like, it's the same rhyme scheme, but I was like, I don't want to say the same shit, and I want to put this rhyme in it. But yeah. Then I still ain't have a hook. So it took me a little while to, like, what the fuck kind of hook am I going to put on this shit? And if you hear it, it's chopped and screwed, so you might think, like, where the fuck did that come? Like, how do you actually think about it? Like, this is what it's going to be. And at one point, because I had a freestyle to Aquemini before that, to the real beat Aquemini. And so I thought about that that freestyle, and I was like, is there any rhymes I could use from that freestyle that I could use on this hook? And then, so those rhymes right there was from the freestyle, and I just knew I wanted it for that type of, like, chopped and screwed sound and shit like that. So, you know, it'd be just kind of all over the place sometimes, but when it come together, it'd be beautiful.
Definitely. I think that's sort of how, like, the best projects are made is, like, it seems like things in it don't mix well, but they just end up doing it. You know, they end up being able to mix well just because, you know, like you, just being a good artist and having the eye for that and being able to structure things in the way where it's intriguing and it doesn't seem, like, too cluttered or off-kilter and everything. But, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorites. The one with the Aquemini and Tuesday Nights. The beat on Tuesday Nights is really good. And then just like you pretty much telling the story almost. Like I feel like a lot of like love songs and hip hop is like, it's like a thing that's not around really anymore. And I think that was just cool that you decided to do that. And you took that kind of, I don't want to say risk, but you did something different with it. You know, that's not something that a lot of people do nowadays. As far as that style goes, like I remember like, you know, like RZA used to do some stuff like that, but there was very few people that I, you know, listened to that did like love songs in that style of hip hop. But that was really cool. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I definitely, I was actually influenced a lot by a song that Blue made called End of the World. And if you hear it, I think maybe overall sonically you might hear it and maybe like kind of like the storytelling. It's like two really different songs, but I like the way that he was just telling his story. To be honest with you, I couldn't even follow all of it. I was trying to understand everything that he meant, but certain lines stood out to me so much. And my boy just kept telling me he felt like that was the type of song like to go for with that beat. And after a while, I was like, yeah, he write. And let me just see, like, how I could set it off. I started writing it by really writing about myself. You listen to the beginning, it's like, you know, I'm talking about just myself, where I'm from. I'm talking about, you know, the way that they got jobs out here, man. I could either be selling drugs or I could be working a 9-to-5 with a manager that don't even give a fuck about me. He don't even listen to me. And I'm basically telling the girl, like, watch, I'm going to take this shit over, like, all these conditions, however we came up and, you know, just anything. Like, the song is, like, really, it's me showing love to the girl, but it's also me letting her know, like, yo, I'm going to be somebody, you feel me?
Stop it, fam. Hey. Hey. I'll start World War III for you, smithereens and bullets. In between I hit it, Broadway District with a biscuit. Could've worked at Silk Mills, now I gotta pitch it. Or answer to a midget, he don't listen when I spit it. Native tongue that's indigenous, to the land I'm from. Benita Apple Bum, I have never seen a fatter one. Name is Matthew Hunt, known as Cause around here. You could call me Mr. Kukunski and we could let it all hang out here. I'm out here, your simple mind has got me enthused. After much interviews, I declare that I'm into you, ready to choose. Till the show's over on earth, then we lamp in the next lifetime and roll over in dirt. Girl, you gon' see, they gon' know about me. Know these can't stop me. stop me. Stop me. Middle fingers to the laws, we gon' smoke up. No, these can't stop me. Watch me. Watch me. I'm not ashamed no more. Your body's a temple, your thoughts are monumental. I can see the God in your mental. I'll excite a crowd, then come back when the mic is down. I bite a style, your legs on my shoulders like Idlewild. My next style is some shit to win the title now. Gave you a title, wow, always on your side of town. Your legacy is tempting me and begging me. Half a man is a savage, but you bring out the king in me. Girl, you gon' see, they gon' know about me. Know these can't stop me. Stop me. Stop me. Middle fingers to the laws, we gon' smoke up. No, these can't stop me. Watch me. Watch me.
Yeah, sort of like a finding your calling sort of style of storytelling.
Yeah, I think that's actually a lot of my music has a lot to do with. That's been a big part of my life since I was young. Like now, you know, it's a little different now, but I think that's the ultimate goal as a human is just growth, finding your calling, finding your purpose, going on your purpose, going on your journey, being in tune. You know, it's things that we all can relate to, but it's something that definitely has a special meaning to me and in my music.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and I feel like your name, again, sort of wraps that all, because it's like the cause. Like, it's such like a seems simple, but I feel like that once you like start getting into your music and you listen to what you're talking about, it's like kind of like the lifestyle you live by. Would you say that?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I think that's another way the universe blessed me, because, you know, sometimes you don't even know what you're doing. Like, rapping so young, I was going through names and, you know, nobody really named me. I was naming myself. And even with that name, how it came about, it was just like random shit that ended up me going from like a name to take this off to now it's the cause. And, you know, it could have ended up differently, but I guess even back then I knew there was a real meaning behind that. But as years go on and, you know, all these projects come out and these songs come out and I do shows, I feel more and more connected to the name and more like it, you know, it really does represent me well, like in a real good way, and just what my music is about.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like names is such a huge part of like sort of marketing yourself as an artist too. And like the cause is a really standout one. Similar, because it's crazy, because whenever I like saw your name, I figured that you know, the first thing I thought of was like Common too. Like, I don't like the influence. So like Common, you know what I'm saying? He's like, it's like the same thing where like the name, once you start listening to his music, you know that the name means more than just like the definition of that term. Like, it's like,
yeah, definitely.
He like lives behind, you know, sort of the ideology that comes from that word and what, you know, he associates it with. But yeah, for sure. That's really cool, man. I know you also, you do like conversations and stuff like that as well, right? I saw that on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, I have, I just released the latest Conversations with Cause Part 2 with my dude Cal. A lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is about my music, but a lot of it, just, I'm sure you could already see talking to me for this little bit we've been talking, like a lot of it has a deeper meaning to it. So even though we'll talk about, you know, whoever's, you know, we'll call it the interviewer, you know, but it's really a conversation. But whoever's the one really firing up a lot of the questions, they'll ask me about a certain video or a certain album or a certain song, but it always ends up going into like something deeper. So that's why I wanted to call it Conversations with Cause.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's it. That's sort of how I wanted to approach this as well, sort of just like a conversation. Like, I mean, this is like really our first time like meeting, I guess. But like just off, you know, off rip, I just wanted to come and like have a real good conversation with you about your music and everything. And I didn't get all the way through the conversation, but I seen little clips of it and everything. And I thought that was really cool. And I think that's something that I feel like more artists should do, like have conversations. It's kind of getting bigger now. Like you see it with like Tyler does it sometimes, some other artists that do like the conversation things about their albums. But I feel like it's really good quality content to like sort of, it makes people's like, it make your music, like after, you know, listening even just to a couple clips of you talking about it, you know what I'm saying? Like listening to your music, it gives me a better understanding of where you're coming from. And I feel like that's something really cool about doing like these conversation style of things and what you're doing and everything.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you feel like that. That's really, you hit it on the nose, and you're right. There's some artists now that, you know, every now and then you'll see Drake do an interview or Chance to do an interview. They might not do interviews with everybody. Even like Nicki starting her shit, I feel like people understand now the more how important it is to, you know, even Eminem, he just did one with Crooked Eye, and I feel like that was the best interview that M did in a while, and that Crooked Eye has done on his platform. So it's really important because, you know, for me personally, from my perspective, after a while of doing a lot of different interviews with different college radio, different platforms, maybe even a podcast. You know, there's so many podcasts now. After a while, though, I felt like, you know, so a lot of people, I don't know why they want to do the interview because they wouldn't even really know that much about me. Like, yeah. It's never really good to interview somebody that if you don't know much about them, you got to ask questions. You got to know what's going on. But after a while, I started feeling like, because my boy Flesh, he told me years ago, he was like, man, you got to talk more. Like, people got to hear you talk. But like I said, when I would go to some of these interviews, it wouldn't really seem like really what I even wanted. So I started thinking to myself, well, this is the do-it-yourself age, no doubt. Like, why are we going to other people for platforms? I got my own platform. I'll get some cameramen. You know, like the last one, I just shot that shit at my crib. The first one, I did it at my people's studio. Like, you know, just to get people, like you said, more in depth, let them know more stories behind the music. It promotes the music more. And I know that there's people that would, you know, I knew people would be into what I had to say and people would be interested. So I knew that in some ways could help me more than the music, because now, like you said, when you check that out, that should make you want to get more in tune with the music, because you want to know what I'm talking about and you want to hear me express it in a dope-ass song, too.
Yeah, for sure. And I really appreciate you doing this interview after saying that, too.
No doubt.
Yeah, because, like, I actually, you know, I fully feel that. I think more artists should do what you're doing, and instead of sort of, like, you know, regardless of size or whatever, I feel like more artists should do it and, like, have conversations with people, you know what I'm saying, that they're interested in talking to. Because, you know, a lot of times I understand, like, some of these artists have these really sort of whack interviews because it's like they don't, you know, really care about the person that they're, you know, talking to, or vice versa. And, you know, that makes an interview. And so I feel like a lot of artists, but now, like, whether it's just, like, even if it's not even somebody who's that good at interviews, like just recording a conversation with a friend, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, likes your music and that y'all both like music, and just talking about your music that way. Like, that's, I like Rick Rubin does that sort of style.
Yeah.
And so like those interviews are like super cool and really informative. And like,
for
you
sure,
know,
yeah.
Really different from like most of the stuff you see, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, man, because you want to, you know, you just want to get people like more into your mind. Like, you know, when you said that, I thought about the one Dre 3000 just did with Rick Rubin. Just some of these interviews, there's some good content that's coming out right now, and I just think it's important for in this day and age, man, especially if you want to come up too, like, and still getting out there, you just want to give the people all of you that you can. So, you know, when you're putting out music, you want to still let them into your life. Like, I'm the type of person, like, I got documentaries on projects that I plan to shoot and things about me that I plan to shoot, just because I'm that type of artist that when you listen to the music, you could tell, like, it's coming from an authentic place. It's coming from a place that's pure and a place that, you know, I'm telling the truth in my rhymes and what I'm saying. There ain't no fakeness to it. So the more content to bring you more into my life, more into my mind, more into my thought process, you know, even if it's just behind the scenes in the studio or anything, that you could give the fans more content. Like, that's really what they want. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you need to do to build your brand as well.
Yeah. On top of that, like we got into a little bit before, just documenting the process. And so it also, what you're doing too, like, we in this day and age, like with the internet and everything, how easy things are to record and whatnot. Like, you're really, it's like leaving a legacy too of like those projects and sort of being able to archive those times and making it and the fun that you had or the hardships that you had during making it, you know, either way. Like, that's a really cool thing to do just in that. I feel that's another thing, like what you said, documentaries while you're making documentaries of the process of making a project. Those things need to be happening more, I feel like, you know. Really cool. And I'm excited to see, you know, more from you as far as those things, because that, I think that content is really cool. Almost, you know, like, no matter really the artist or anything, like, it's just cool to see people do stuff like that, and for you to do it and also have really good music too is just, you know, cherry on top.
Yeah, good looking, man. I do my best to just put out quality shit, you know, just put out shit that if I'm excited about it and I vibe with it like that, and it's really great to me, because I look at my own shit like through the eyes of a fan, you know. Yeah. So when I have some shit that's just cool, all right, I'll be like, all right, this is cool. But, you know, release party, I mean, you hear what it is. I was like, these shit is amazing. This is the project I need to put out. Like, when I get really excited about something, I just know, you know, that this shit is going to go. Then, you know, I put it out. And I just think that it's just real important, because, you know, I don't have a big-ass label behind me. So the more things that I could do for myself, the more interviews I could get, the more that I could just get people to know who I am, you know, the more content that I could put out there, because there's so many artists out there that's old heads already that is nice as fuck, and they never really got to the place that they wanted to, you know. And I just feel like in this day and age, there's no such thing as like lack of resources. Like, too many people are still caught up in that mentality of like looking for somebody to put them on or looking for some type of outlet. And I'm all for, you know, fucking with people in the culture and in the genre, like, no doubt. I love, you know, meeting great minds and people that's really doing creative things. So I love to collab and go on other platforms that's really about something. But at the same time, like I said, I ain't got no big label behind me. So instead of me waiting on somebody to put me on a podcast or whatever it is, it's like, man, you could do that shit yourself. Even if you don't like the shows you getting currently, you could throw your own show. Like, it's about making shit happen for yourself, because like I said, with the comparison with like people that are dope as hell but end up not really making it as far as they wanted to, like, I gotta hold myself accountable, because I can't be that artist that's like, I know how it feels to be like knowing how dope you are and people not really seeing it. That's what makes me want to capture more content, get more footage, make more songs, But it's not just about the music. People got to see. They want to see the lifestyle you live in. They want to see you going to the shows with your people, you know, having a good time, fucking around in the studio, doing these interviews. And I feel like maybe, you know, not every artist, some artists might not even have that much to say. So with me having so much to say and so much energy to put out there that people will relate to, like, it's like I got to make sure that I'm making the most out of it and giving them stuff to fuck with so we could all just build.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely can see that, you know, too, with you. I think that's a really important point to take as well. When you say, when you're talking about like artists coming up and, you know, they could be dope and, but they don't, you know, they don't put themselves out there, but they, you know, it's definitely like holding yourself accountable. And like you said, everybody nowadays has the resources to do so. And I talked a little bit with this with Tiggs, and he was saying like, work with what you have. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you have people, you can make the best, you know, in these days, it's like the best time to make the best of like, maybe they're like a situation where you don't have the equipment or whatever, like phones nowadays can do everything. You know what I'm saying? Can do everything. These iPhones nowadays shooting like, you know, film quality videos and stuff like that. So like doing more of that,
crazy.
Engaging, you know, with people on whether it's social media and everything. Yeah. I definitely see that's I think that's really good advice too that you give towards definitely artists coming up. That's really cool.
But, yeah, and I think too that not to cut you off, like, you know, it's just all about having a vision for yourself and just doing shit quality too, because at the same time with there being more resources, that means there's a lot more just fluff out there. There's a lot more people that's, and you know, not to knock nobody, there's sometimes it takes a while to really get to where you're going. So for people like that, it's still just as good, but there's a lot of people that want to, like I said, do podcasts now because everybody's doing it, do where things start to get like oversaturated. But with that being said, like when you find like a podcast, like let's say Quali's podcast, where he'd be having people on there like LP and Evidence and Razzcast and Planet Asia and all type of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just stands out because you like, oh shit, nobody's putting out no shit like this. Like he just had John Forte on his shit. So it just stands out. Mm-hmm. It's different. Or you get people that just, you know, do really good interviews. It's like that shit is always going to uphold over everything. So I think definitely people should always remember like quality over quantity. And at the same time, where some people might complain that shit is oversaturated, but if you really got dope shit, you know, your shit is going to push through.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said. And I think like, speaking of like dope shit, like I feel like y'all in Jersey are like, you know, starting like a movement. Like y'all, like, I feel like I'm just hearing about like a lot of these Jersey artists and everything coming up, and it's, I feel like y'all are gonna be really big, like in the future, like just that whole, you know, culture up there. Cause like I'm hearing about it from down here. Like I know, you know what I'm saying? I know Fat Boy and everything, but just like, not even just y'all, like I know, you know, like Roper or, you know, Roper Williams and all those dudes and everything, like, you know, making big waves and everything right now. I just feel like y'all in Jersey are just for real on the come up, and there's a lot of good stuff coming out of Jersey right now.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Jersey's in a good place. I think even New York is in a better place than it was. I think I really think, man, no matter what style you do, even if it's not like the street bars, I think Griselda just made a lot of people feel like they could just do what the fuck they want to do. I think a lot of people were scared to like do different style of beats or do, you know, just be who they are. I feel like shit got to the point where, I mean, I never felt like that, but I guess people started to feel like they had to come about it a certain way in hip hop. And so I salute them guys. I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like, you know, I think, like I said, in Jersey and New York, I think that made a big difference with a lot of local talent, up-and-coming artists, even different platforms started coming out when them guys came out. So, you know, you can't even do nothing but respect that.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, like, with, like, Griselda, I got into it a little bit with, or I was talking about it a little bit with Higgs and everything. And just how they, like you said, like, they opened up, like, just so much stuff for people to just be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that style, you know what I'm saying? It's not dead, like, not, like, you know what I'm saying? Or you can
And it's cool for me, because, like, being a diverse artist, but being coming up so much, like, on all the classics and just knowing, you know, I'm a student of the game, like, I know the history. And, you know, for me, there might have been, like, one time that I ever felt like shit really got stale. But, like I said, I'm in the soul. I'm in the, you know, Solange would drop an album or Frank would drop an album or whoever dropped an album if it wasn't no good rap shit really coming out like that. But I feel like there's always something. But at the same time, though, I've seen some people more on the underground side of things or some people that was more purist and just kind of into that, kind of get dry and stale until recently. And so on that end, I'm happy because, you know, to see people freestyling again and to see people just kind of like in that spirit of hip hop that I feel like we haven't seen as much in the last couple years. You know, for me, it's cool because, you know, it's just, it's fun again. It makes me think I could pull up somewhere and I might see a cypher, some shit we don't even see no more. Yeah. And you might just start busting some bars out and shit.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely seems like, you know, those types of things, the art of doing stuff like that is sort of having a resurgence. It kind of like, you know, it like cycled out and now it's like on its way back up now, I feel like.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a resurgence. I just think, you know, I think it's always going to be there. I just think that, you know, we definitely want to try different things. Definitely want to just make the most out of shit. But I feel like it's just, man, like I said, we got to try different things. We got to be creative. But at the same time, sometimes you want to just freestyle with your homies. Sometimes you want to just... Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's just about the wordplay and the metaphors and the syllables and the, it's always a part of it. Like for me, no matter what I do, you know, that was like the first art of it. Like I said, the wordplay, the metaphors, the, just the whole craft, you know what I'm saying? It's something that sometimes is not always as celebrated nowadays, you know. You got dudes like Kendrick and J. Cole that people, they on a platform where people like pay attention to their craft, but that's almost sounded like on a big platform. That's the only craft that was getting examined for a while, and now people actually are becoming more interested in lyrics again and, you know, what the artists are saying, how they putting it together and stuff like that. So that's always cool because, you know, you will want your time into your craft to be appreciated.
Yeah. And I think, like, as far as resurgences go, too, like, videos are also, like, on the back. Like, it seems like videos are really, like, people are really starting to pay attention to videos and make really good video content. And I think, like, with you, too, like, your videos, I really like the Tuesday Night video, the Bloom video, too. And everything. Those were, like, I thought those were really cool ideas. Like, sort of, what was the process behind making those videos? Did you have, like, an idea going into it? What you wanted to do? Or did you kind of have, like, the director, yes, like, consulted the director a little bit? Or what was the process behind your videos?
Yeah, with Tuesday Night, I really had the idea. Well, really, the first idea that came into my head was the vision of just having just like this wall filled with posters and filled with artists on the wall. I had just got this vision in my head, so I was like, all right, I'm going to do that. And then everything else, is, you know, it's a short song, so that was, like, really one of the main scenes, if not the main scene. Everything else was kind of just, like, happened around it. Bloom was something that I was at my boy Trey Ron's spot, and I just wanted to make sure I had the balloons in it to represent mm-hmm. Release Party. And I just wanted to be kind of like a get together. To be honest with you, I'm sure there will be a day that it happens. Actually, I think Feel Me was a video that I could give most of the credit to the director, Ocean's 14th. Like a lot of my visuals, pretty much everything I do, I pretty much come up with the concept. But Feel Me was a video that my dude Ocean was like, yo, I just want to follow you around. Like, if you got a show or if you're going to the studio or whatever it is, if you're going to your people's crib, just let me know. I just want to follow you around. And we shot that video. It took us, like, man, I want to say it might have been, like, 5-6 days that we was just going around shooting shit. Yeah, like, if you watch it, there's some scenes that you only see one time. Like, there's one scene where I'm on the car. I got this red jacket on. And you see me and my boy Hunted. And you don't even see that scene again. So that lets you know, like, how much time he was doing just, like, running around. And that was solely, like, his concept. Because he was like, if this song is called Feel Me, if people gonna feel you, they got to come into your life. They got to know what's going on in the day-to-day. So, you know, I thank him highly for that. But definitely a lot of my videos, like I said, 99% of my videos is me being like, all right, this is what I want to do for this song, map it out, and then we, you know, go ahead and shoot it.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, man, that's super tight. It was super good having this conversation again, man. I really appreciate you doing this for me.
And no doubt, likewise.
Yeah, that was a really good conversation. But yeah, what do you have going on in the future? You got anything coming up? Releasing that you
yeah, can. For sure. I got a project dropping soon. Sometime this year. I'm literally finishing it up right now. All that really needs to really be done is just to have it mixed. I already started shooting a visual for it already, so I'm just trying to stay ahead of everything. You feel me? But yeah, it's my new project is gonna be in the mixing stages soon, and it's just so close to being done. It's so dope. I got the Eye of a Genius on there. I got a lot of dope collabs. I got Big Rule from Dungeon Family on there, my guy. I got a beat from Nick Wiz on there that a lot of people would know from, like, fucking with Rakim. He done beats for Rakim before and a whole bunch of other people. So, man, I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to drop this project on people, drop the visuals on people. And, you know, Release Party did so well. And it's still doing me so well. I'm still performing, you know, Release Party. I'm still putting it out there. And so I can't wait to drop the next project because I know it's going to be even crazier.
Yeah, man. And I'm excited for that, too. Super, because I really like Release Party and everything. And the visuals and everything for it, like I said, were really dope. And yeah, man, just keep doing your thing.
No doubt, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you, bro.
Yeah. Ain't shit in your life right. Holding a mic tight. War brought a gun to a knife fight. My mind is up on a hot flight. My eyesight's 3 with a fine light. It shine bright. The time's right. The grind right. The rhyme's right. I smoke on some till I disappear. My head impaired. This shit ain't clear. My date is near. My fate is here. Wrote this 2 months after April. Yeah. I'm an ape in here. I could start a wave in here. Go to war in Navy gear. I don't know what to say in here. They were sleep or made aware. I think I'ma stay in here. Tell me what to say again. Tell me what to say, my friend. Tell me what to say again. I don't know what I'm doing here. Tell me what to say again. Tell me what to say, my friend. Tell me what to say again. I don't know what I'm doing here. Tell me what to say again.
Tell me what to say, my friend.
Tell me what to say again.
I don't know what I'm doing here.
Tell me what to say again.
I do not know, I do not know.
Tell me what to say again. I don't know what I'm doing here. Anticipation, hand fist is waving. They want the comp king to split and save them. Must feel it's good to finally get the payment. I left the lake house, split the basement. Now I stand a man untouched. Pain with one brush as I bum rush. I am so unmatched. I hope no one catch and throw them back. Ain't shooting your life right. Holding a mic tight. Girl, I brought a dick to a dick fight. My mind is up on a high rise. Watch how everybody wanna find mine. Cause Kuklinski. But I'm still that little one who just wanna show, improve, and bust. My demise is ludicrous. Yeah, tell me what to say again. Tell me what to say, my friend. Tell me what to say again. I don't know what I'm doing here. Tell me what to say again. Tell me what to say, my friend. Tell me what to say again. I don't know what I'm doing here. Tell me what to say again.
Tell me what to say, my friend.
Tell me what to say again.
I don't know.
Tell me what to say again.
I do not know, I do not know.
Tell me what to say again. I don't know what I'm doing here.